ಗೋಪಿ ಜನಬಲ್ಲಬ ಕಿರ್ಬರ್ ಝಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನಬಲ್ಲಬ ಕಿರ್ಬರ್ ಝಾರಿ ಯಶೋರ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರ ನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಜಮೂನ ಚೀರ ವರ್ಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನಾ ಚೀರ ವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
ಶುಭಾಂಸ ಬರಾಜಿಮದ್ ಏಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶುಭಾಂಸ ಬರಾಜಿಮದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸಾಸಿತಾಕೋ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವಿಂದ ಕಿ ಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೈಸ್ ಅ ಕಹೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸರಿ ಗೋಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋಪಿನಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಂ ರಾಧ ಕುಂ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋಪನಾಂ ಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವೃಂದಾಂ ಕಿ ನವದ್ವೀತಾಂ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಯಿ ಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಯಿ ಕಿ ತುಲಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕಿ Samaveda Bhakta Vrindaki, Kola Premanandi. All glories to Samal devotees. All glories to Samal devotees. All glories to Samal devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in honor of this special day, 10th canto, chapter 33, the Rasa Dance, text 19. This is the verse that has been selected by the management. Kutta tavantam atmanam yavatir gopayoshita Remesa Bhagavam Stabir Atmaramo Pililaya Kitatavantam Atmanam Yavati Gopayoshita Remesa Bhagavam Stabir Atmaramo Pililaya Kittatavantam Atmanam Yavati Gopayoshita Remesa Bhagavam Stabir Atmaramo Pililaya. Vaishnavis, making tavantam, expanded that many times. Atmanam, himself. Yavati, as many as. Gopayoshita, cowherd women. Reme, enjoyed. Sa, he. Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord. Tabhi, with them. Atma Arama, self-satisfied. Api, although. Lilaya, as a pastime. Translation. Expanding himself as many times as there were cowherd women to associate with. The Supreme Lord, though self-satisfied, playfully enjoyed their company. Purport. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, it has already been explained that Lord Krishna is eternally free from all material desire, perfect on the platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. Om Ganatrimadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. In celebration of the full moon of the Sharad season, Rasa Purnima, we're speaking on this verse given to us. We have to always bear in mind that we approach this subject matter with awe from a distance. We carry it on high and very carefully through parampara, always remembering our position and the nature of the subject matter of Rasa Lila. We humbly and cautiously approach this subject matter. Today we'll speak about the place, the time, the circumstances, and that especially includes the audience. In today's verse, we're hearing that Krishna expanded himself into as many forms as there were cowherd women to associate with. In his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, so exquisitely translated by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, with the commentary by Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan. If you don't have that particular version of Laghu Bhagavatamrita done so exquisitely to the same standard as Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I 100% recommend it. There are versions of Laghu Bhagavatamrita available, but without the commentary by Baladeva Bhushan, Vidyabhushan, you're missing 70% of the action. So I heartily recommend. And there, Rupa Goswami explains that Gokul is at least as equal as Goloka and sometimes considered superior to Goloka. How could that be so? He points out that in Gokul there are four attributes that are special. It's a very subtle point. He doesn't hammer the point, so to speak, that Gokul is superior to Goloka. He presents it very subtly and does mention that this can be considered. Sometimes it is stated, and he gives reasons. Number one, the Ishwara capacity that Krishna displays in Gokula is special, in that it's wrapped in sweetness. He disregards the demigods, whereas in Dwarka, he's very respectful to the demigods.
But in Gokul, Indra, Brahma, they offer prayers, but they are not considered significant personalities. And also, in Gokul, when Krishna dispatches some demons, yes, the power is there, but it's wrapped in sweetness, especially childlike sweetness, sucking the breast of Putana and sucking out her life, or kicking the Shakatasura, the cart demon, with his lotus foot, dragging down the Yamalarjun trees. It's all done in a very childlike, simple manner that preserves the sweetness. Whereas in his Mathura and Dwarka Leela, he cuts off heads, he apparently takes more effort, apparently. Rupa Goswami makes this point. Of course, we know that for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is never any material effort or strain. But in Gokul, even when Krishna shows his Ishwara nature, it's in a very sweet, simple, easygoing, easy-flowing way, you would say. That's one. The second one is sporting pastimes. There's something special about his cowherd boy pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends, the gopas, as well as his pastimes with the cowherd girls, the gopis. And then, his flute playing. Some or other, his flute playing is very special in Gokula. As well as his form. Rupa Goswami makes those four points. The form. Consider that the childhood pastime form is very rare. But again, these are subtle points. In Lago Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami talks about expansion, especially the capacity of the Dham to expand. He speaks about this in reference to Gokula, showing some perhaps special characteristics. As we said, the difference or the superiority is very subtle. Gokul expands and contracts according to the particular pastime that Krishna is enacting. Therefore, you're hearing about expansion in terms of the Rasa Leela. There were billions of gopis on the bank of the Jamuna. Now try to figure that out. But before that, you have to figure out how countless universes could appear in Vrindavan, so that Lord Brahma could have his mind blown. Krishna made countless universes appear there, all within Gokul Vrindavan. So why be astonished that there are billions of gopis on the bank of the Jamuna? Everything is 100% for Krishna's pleasure. So as we said, the Dham expands and contracts. Also, Rupa Goswami explains that the Dham, its various features can morph. They can change according to Krishna's pastime necessities. Of course, Leela means there's no necessity. But then again, Krishna's pleasure is the only reality. It's not a necessity, Krishna's pleasure, in that it's never forced. It is the natural, organic occurrence. If you want to know what is really organic, what is really holistic, then it's Krishna's pastimes. There's no material necessity. There's nothing synthetic. So even the Dham changes its features according to Krishna's pastimes. That means the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the pastures, they individually can shapeshift. they can change to provide the most proper scenery for Krishna's leelas. They can change individually, each component on its own, or they can change all at once. So this is what Rupa Goswami explains as the nature of the Dham, and he instructs, never be astonished by this. Never be astonished by anything that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does, his devotees do, what the Dham does, or what the due course of time, so to speak, in Krishna Leela arranges. Of course, there is no material time effect. But due course of time in Krishna Leela means how Yogamaya arranges everything perfectly for Krishna's pleasure. So Rupa Goswami says, don't be astonished by it all. This is the way it is. Let's speak about the particular place. Shukadeva Goswami begins the five chapters about the Rasa Leela, setting the scene. And remember that those five chapters correspond to the five senses, the acharyas point out. In that way, you can understand that bhakti is the perfection of sensory activity. We're always so concerned, right? What's going to happen to our senses? Will our senses be fulfilled? Will our senses be neglected? What will be the scope, the future opportunity for our senses? In Krishna's Rasa Leela, you see the perfection of sensory activity. And this is so important. Otherwise, you have a situation in which the acharyas accuse the mayavadis of driving persons toward material sense gratification. Because if there is no sensory activity in the Supreme Absolute Truth, then you may talk about how it's all one and there are no qualities, no activities, no form, but at the end of the day, and especially at night, you're going to want some qualities, some forms, some activities. So this is why we've always heard Srila Prabhupada roar at the mayavadis, because they're indirectly, yet very powerfully, pushing everyone to more material sensory activity. Because dry metaphysical talks of oneness will not satisfy the senses, nor will it give you any scope, any future opportunity for sensory activity. And the spirit soul is always active. In this way, Rasa Leela is so important. And as the acharyas point out, five chapters, five senses. Shukadeva Goswami begins his presentation in chapter 29 of the 10th canto by saying, Bhagavan Apita Ratri. Although he's Bhagavan, we're dealing with the point of self-satisfaction. In this verse, Atma Arama, self-satisfied. Also, during the Rasa Leela, you'll see Aptakama, self-satisfied. Satchakama, his desires are always fulfilled. Also, Satchakama means his desires are the Supreme Absolute Truth. Bhagavan Apitarachi, although he's Bhagavan, complete in himself, he is looking at the night. He's looking at the scenario. What a perfect night. Sharadotpala Malika. The jasmine flowers are blooming, even though, according to material reason, they shouldn't be blooming at night in the autumn. But for Krishna, they're blooming. Viksharanta Manaschakre. Looking at the scenes with all the ujipanas, all the stimulants of ecstatic love, Krishna begins to consider. According to the acharyas, it was beginning of the night, and Mother Yashoda had gone to her quarters, and Krishna has a rooftop bedroom. He went to the door of his bedroom. Ah, look at this night. Consider all the sensory possibilities. The beauty of the night with the full moon in the sky making the horizon red. The breezes blowing, carrying the scent of the flowers in the forest. Krishna knows how to gratify the senses in the best way. We have that fear. What scope, what opportunity is there for sense gratification in bhakti? It's a big worry. But as Srila Prabhupada points out in the Krishna book, there is sense gratification in the material world, and it is also there in the spiritual world. So don't worry. And Krishna's showing you. This is the real standard. You can't touch this. You don't know about this. You're so attached to measly sense gratification in the material world that is the result of such struggle, such hard work. And it's so transitory. All that effort just for a little transitory, flickering shadow pleasure. So by his Rasa Leela, Krishna is demonstrating the standard of enjoyment, and he's inviting you. Come join this. This is where it's at. This is the party. Bhagavan Apitaratri. Although he is Bhagavan, he apparently has desires. How the Supreme Personality of Godhead has desires is a very special subject matter. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Kaviraj Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has a special term for Bhagavan, Swaraja Lakshmi. This takes the understanding of Bhagavan, complete in all opulences, to a deeper level, Swaraja Lakshmi. That means, Swaraja Lakshmi, that Krishna has unlimited desires and he has the independent, unlimited ability to satisfy all of his unlimited desires. So I always ask audiences, and we're going to be talking more about audiences because audiences are very important. How many desires can you count that you have? Don't say it out loud, but just think. In terms of completely different desires, you can probably get to 5. You won't get past 10. Now just think, unlimited desires? Not only unlimited desires does Krishna have with his Swaraja Lakshmi capabilities, but the unlimited ability to satisfy every one of his unlimited desires. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami triumphantly declares, this is God. Where else do you find such a definition? Far beyond God as the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer, you have this Swaraja Lakshmi capacity. And it's demonstrated in the Rasa Leela. But you might think, but is it what independent? How can Krishna be independent when it looks like he's so dependent on others for fulfilling his desires? But then you have to understand that Krishna is simply dealing with his energies. The scenario began 10 months earlier when the gopis went to the Jamuna to worship Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye, Mahayogin Adishri. Oh, Katyayani. Oh, great energy. Oh, most powerful mystic yogi. Oh, controller of the energy. there is this boy, Nanda Gopasuta. Nanda Gopasutam Devi, O goddess, that sutta of Nanda Gopa, Patame Kudate Namaha, make him ours. But that was the seed, which later sprouted into the tree of the Rasa Lila. So after Krishna enacted the Varnahastra Lila, confiscating the clothes of the young cowherd girls, he told them, when he said, go back to Vrindavan, he told them, there'll come a night when I will fulfill all your desires. In the very near future, Krishna told them. Actually, it was 10 months later, but Krishna knows how to be a psychologist. He knows how to deal with the purvarag, the feelings of anticipation. So just to build up those feelings of anticipation in the gopis and to cause them no consternation, he said, in the very near future we'll meet and I'll fulfill all your desires. But actually it was 10 months later. Krishna knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing with us too. We have sometimes the feeling that, when will Krishna appear to me? When will the deity show me something? That hope is okay. You can read about this in one verse in the eighth canto, in the middle of the section about the demigods battling the demons over the churning of the milk ocean of nectar. And there Srila Prabhupada points out that a devotee should always hope to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but never command. In this purport, we were discussing with His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj and other devotees yesterday. In the purport, Prabhupada is actually teaching Vipralamba Seva. He's teaching the highest Gaudiya Vaishnava realizations, love of Krishna and separation. But he's doing it in such a way that unless you are qualified to recognize what's actually there, you can pass right over it. Of course, we don't consider ourselves qualified, but some other Vaishnava Prabhupada's mercy, we saw it. Love of Krishna and separation, as Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, is the highest. It's beyond even meeting Krishna. Because in the separation, the anticipation becomes most acute and produces the most intense love. So therefore, in this purport, right in the eighth canto, amidst what you would consider is not a Rasika scene, demigods and demons, you know, and Vasuki the serpent and the Mandara mountain and all that, you wouldn't consider that like a high rasa. But there, Srila Prabhupada, you might say, sneaks in a purport that is instructing how to love Krishna in separation. Hope, 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 yes, but never command. Adarshanan mamahatam karotuha. Krishna, you may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. In that brokenhearted state, you're hoping, but you're not commanding. So, in that Bhaktivedanta purport, we're instructed that we're allowed to hope, but we never command. Krishna, appear before me. I've done so much service. I've been around for 5 years now. Where are you? Deities, show me something. Yet we hope. Hope against hope. Asha Bandha, as Nectar Devotion describes. Once we understand the place, how it is so appropriate, the night, the timing, then we're ready to enter into the occurrence of Rasa Leela. But it's spoken to an audience, and audiences are a major concern. Right at the beginning of Bhagavatam in first canto, what happened? Pritchett Maharaj asked Shukadeva Goswami two questions, which are actually one. What is the duty of someone in all circumstances, and what is the duty of someone about to die? In all circumstances, everyone's about to die, so it's actually just one question. Those of you who have taken Bhakti Shastri or have studied first canto, you know that. There was apparently some lack of unity in the audience when Pritchett Maharaj is asking that question. There was not unanimity, because you had yogis and elevationists and salvationists mixed in the audience, along with pure devotees. Pritchett Maharaj, his very name, Pritchett, the acharyas point out, has several meanings. One of them is he sees completely. He sees the whole picture. That's how he could actually rule the whole world. So he noted in the audience, we've got some dry gyanis here. We've got some mystic yogis. We don't have an audience full of pure bhaktas. Therefore, what was the solution? The acharyas describe that actually many in the audience realize we don't have unanimity here, and this is a great devotee who's about to leave this world. He wants to know what's the best thing to do, and we have some dissension here. So everyone's mind began to project the same thought. Shukadeva Goswami, where is he? So this is 5,000 years ago, when the subtle realities were much more prominent. Just as everyone's mind is projecting, we need someone to resolve this for the sake of Pritchett Maharaj and for the sake of all posterity, for the future, on and on, Shukadeva Goswami can do it. As they were projecting like that, who appears? Shukadeva Goswami. So again, remember Pritchett Maharaj's sensitivity to what's happening in the audience. For the sake of the future and the well-being of the conditioned souls, Pritchett wants unanimity. I want a resounding verdict. This is the best thing to do. In all circumstances, this is the best thing to do for someone about to die. Further in the Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, you have Lord Shiva with his wife on his lap. He's embracing her. Those things go on in married life, I'm told. But guess what? Lord Shiva and his wife were like that, surrounded by an audience of sages and sadhus. Up above in his celestial spacecraft, Chitraketu was there. And he looked down on this scene. Shiva and his wife, audience of greatest sadhus and sages, and Shiva's being a bit intimate, and hey, what's going on here? So he said something. Now, actually, the acharyas point out, he just didn't say it once. He said it quite a few times. What is this? Shiva, the great. And look how he's carrying on in public. How can we understand that? He said it quite a few times. If he had said it just once, the acharyas point out, Shiva's wife would have let it pass. But he said it quite a few times, and everyone heard it. So you know, she cursed him. Chitraketu was faultless. He was considering the audience, the time, the place. Not only do we have sadhus here, watching Shiva with his wife on his lap, but what will the common person think hearing about all this? They'll lose faith in Shiva. I don't want that to happen. He had everyone's interests in mind. But he was cursed. And you know how gracefully he accepted the curse, even though he had the ability to, as a most powerful devotee, to counter curse even the wife of Shiva or nullify the curse. He accepted it gracefully. This is all the part of the plan of the Lord of Vaikuntha to bring Chitraketu back to Godhead, back to Vaikuntha, quickly. Chitraketu was having a good time. He was no ordinary person. He had the darshan of Lord Sankarshan. Evidently, though, even when you analyze minutely, Chitraketu was a little proud. Just a tiny bit proud. I have seen Lord Sankarshan. And based on that tiny bit of pride, something carried over in his critique of Lord Shiva. So in that way, Chitraketu is showing us we have to be careful about pride. So, after the curse, Lord Shiva was talking to his wife and saying, I think you overdid it. She was hanging her head with her sari over her face, and Lord Shiva explained, you're certainly beautiful, but the spiritual beauty of this Vaishnav has far surpassed your beauty. And then he began to explain the situation. Look, Chitraketu and I, we joke. We're friends. He's laughing at me for having you on my lap, embracing you in the company of sages and sadhus. What about him? He's up there in that spacecraft with all the heavenly planet ladies. Who does he think he is, talking about me? Shiva also said, the Acharyas point out, he, on the external, on the outside, has bhakti, but on the inside, he's got material enjoyment. I, on the outside, have material enjoyment, but on the inside, I have bhakti. So, but anyway, we're friends. We laugh and joke. So, should you blame Chitraketu for being concerned with the audience and what onlookers would think? Pritchett Maharaj also has that concern, and during the presentation of Rasa Leela by Shukadeva Goswami, Pritchett Maharaj, remember, the one who sees the whole picture, he sees everything, he brought up twice in the course of those five chapters concerns by the audience. So you know how Krishna played his flute. And the combination of the flute playing combined with the nighttime atmosphere, the full moon, the reddish horizon, the breezes, the scent of the flowers, what an effect there was upon the gopis who raced out from home, pursuing the thief that had stolen their mind, stolen their shyness, stolen their reserve. They raced away to claim back their treasures. You can evaluate their running into the forest in three ways. First of all, the duties, taking care of milk products, cooking, things like that. They dropped all that. That's one level. Then, on the next level of intensity, they dropped their relationships. Servants, friends, husbands for those who were married. Feeding children. Note, the children were not their own. The children were their nieces and nephews. Dropping all personal relationships, they proceeded to flee to the forest. Third level of intensity, they didn't care how they looked in terms of their dresses and ornaments. neglecting that also. Their own bodily manifestations, they raced away. Of course, to make the whole Rasalila bulletproof, free from criticism, when they left, despite their families, their husbands restraining them, doubles created by Yoga Maya took their place. So according to their husbands, they were still at home. They're in the forest with Krishna. So, all right, you have these divisions of the Leela. You have the flute playing that attracts them into the forest. Then you have the conversation, the dialogue with Krishna once they got to the forest. Go home, go back. Then, after some enjoyment with Krishna, Krishna disappears. And then Krishna reappears on the bank of the Jamuna, and you have the question and answer session, the famous question and answer session with everyone seated on the shawls of the gopis on the soft sand of the Jamuna. Tell us, what is the best lover? In other words, you haven't done right. You've mistreated us. But they said it in a very tactful way. So after the question and answer session, there's the dancing. After the dancing, there's enjoyment in private kunjas, private groves. And then there's the water sports in the Jamuna River. And more activity in the kunjas, and then playing in the forest, and then the return home. So right at the point when Shukadeva Goswami is describing the fleeing of the gopis to go out into the forest, the various levels of intensities, the various personalities, eternally liberated gopis, gopis just coming to the platform of being perfect associates of Lord, so on and so forth. Pritchett Maharaj looks around, and what does he notice? I see some doubts in the audience. So he asks that famous question to Shukadeva Goswami. Krishnam vidu param kanta natu brahmataya mune. The gopis simply worship Krishna as their boyfriend, not the Supreme Absolute Truth. How is it then that this whole scene is not a product of the material energy? How is it that they're not swept away by the material energy? They're just apparently just like dealing with mundane love and mundane attraction. They didn't know. Natu brahmataya mune. Oh, Muni. They didn't know he's the Supreme Absolute Truth. What's going on here? He's asking that because he's noticed in the audience doubters. Shukadeva Goswami apparently replies, chastising Pritchett Maharaj. Haven't you asked this before? Didn't I explain this? Remember Shishupal? He was the enemy of the Lord, yet he attained the Lord. How could you ask the question again? Actually, the chastisement was not to Pritchett Maharaj. Shukadeva Goswami is doing a ricochet or a karom shot. He's actually hitting out at the audience via Pritchett Maharaj. All you doubters in the audience, don't you know? But in Bhagavatam, everything is eloquent. Everything is done with maximum finesse. So apparently, Shukadeva Goswami is chastising Pritchett Maharaj. And notice, Shukadeva Goswami brings up Shishupal, not Aristasura, because Shishupal actually did not remain merged with Krishna upon his being terminated. He, as one of the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha, went back to his post. That's why Shukadeva Goswami didn't mention Aristasura, who also merged with the Lord. So Shukadeva Goswami explains the power of absorption. absorption in general in any way upon Krishna produces such a glorious result. What to speak of the gopis' absorption, which actually was not kama in the kubja-like sense. It was prema. So then, the lila continues to unfold. But that's not the last time Prichit Maharaj notices the audience. At the conclusion of the Rasa Lila, when there's apparent fatigue in the spiritual bodies of the gopis and Krishna is wiping the moisture from their foreheads with his hand, and that hand is giving them all satisfaction and all relief from spiritual fatigue. And then Krishna expands himself into as many gopis as there are and goes to a private kunja with each one. This is before they all go to the river for water sports. Again, Prichit Maharaj notices. We've got some doubters in the audience. He noticed particularly that in the audience, and you can try this yourselves, there were persons glancing at each other like,
sounds a bit dodgy here.
He disguised that there was some squinting of the eyes. You can try that. Just look at your neighbor. Very subtle, because, you know, this is Vedic culture. Everything is very subtle. Squinting of the eyes, glancing. I don't know how we would do it in our more gross Kali Yuga culture. We would clear the throat. But Prichit Maharaj just looked at the eyes in the audience. He saw squinting, glancing at others. Like, you know, you when someone says something that you think is a bit off in class, you look at your close godbrother, godsister next to you and kind of just... I know you've never done it. So, Prichit Maharaj noticed that, and he brings up the question to Shukadeva Goswami again. Optokama Yarupati Kritavan by Jugupshitam. What do we have here, Shukadeva Goswami? We've got Optokama, self-satisfied Krishna. What's he doing? Yarupati. He's the master of the Yaru dynasty, which is so famous for morality, impeccable dharma. Yet, Kritavan by Jugupshitam. There is no doubt. Some would say he's doing abominable activities. Shukadev. Yeah. In other words, Prichit tossed the hot potato to Shukadev. Can you answer this? You are Suvrata. You are so determined and dedicated in your vows. And especially you should answer this because you've been describing this Rasa Lila. You could be said to be compromised. You're talking about this stuff, and you're Suvrata. That's what the people might think. So I'm appealing to you. Please clarify this whole situation. And Shukadeva Goswami goes through several verses explaining, don't imitate the activities of the Ishwara. Persons like Lord Shiva, who can swallow an ocean of poison. Tejiyasam nadoshaya. Those who have abnormal spiritual potency, there's never any fault. So if that's the case with those less than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself? Today, we talk about Rasa Lila with an attitude of great respect, viewing the subject matter on high and ourselves as low. It's amazing how Srila Prabhupada, in his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna book as we call it, is able to give five chapters of the Rasa Lila in a way that even a neophyte, brand new person will not make offense, because the lila is couched in tattva. Both things are important. By the grace of the parampara, we can have some glimpse into this most perfect sensory activity. And finally, as Shukadeva Goswami pointed out to Pritchi Maharaj, isn't it the essential nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to liberate the whole world? Well, guess what? This is why he's having the Rasa Leela and letting you know about it. To liberate the whole world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.